విత్తు మహాబాహో గుణకర్మ విభాగయో తత్వవిత్తు మహాబాహో గుణకర్మ విభాగయో So Krishna is talking about the duty of a jnani. The duty of a jnani towards the society. The jnani's duty is what? Is continuing to do his karma. Whatever is his karma, according to his ashrama. Sannyasa ashrama, grahastha ashrama, whatever may be the ashrama, if he is a jnani, he has to continue to do his duty for the sake of loka sangraha. For the sake of loka kshema, he is supposed to do that. And naturally, what would be the question? If jnani remains in karma, for the sake of the benefits of the world for teaching others, what is the difference between a jnani doing the karma and an ajnani doing the same karma? That would be the question. If ajnani gets bound by the karma that he does, would the same karma bind the jnani also? No, not. There will be no difference between the two in terms of external karma. External level, there is no difference at all between them. In the case of jnani also, he has to do the planning, he has to do the execution, he has to do everything the same way. No difference at all. Physical activity is very, very similar to that of an ajnani. Whatever the jnani does also will be similar to that of the ajnani. But the difference is only in the inner attitude when the karma is being done by the jnani and by the ajnani. This is because the jnani's wisdom is the differentiating factor between the jnani and ajnani. So ajnani lacks that wisdom, jnani has that wisdom. So that wisdom alone we saw earlier in the previous class, that the jnani has differentiated the aham, atma. Jnani has always the understanding aham. Aham means atma. Jnani knows, whereas the ajnani thinks aham is not the atma, it's the body. So jnani knows aham atma idam shariram. This is the body, but I am the indweller, the atma, the jnani knows. He has no body notion at all. He has no confusion between the self and the body. He has got all the time the notion that I am the atma swarupaha, I am atma. So atma anatma viveka the jnani has, the atma anatma viveka the ajnani does not have. Okay. So he clearly knows, the jnani knows that I am ever the actionless awareness that the jnani knows. I am ever agartha abhokta. I am the actionless awareness. Aham akarta, aham abhokta. That is what the jnani knows all the time. Naijayate, priyate va kadachite. We already saw that in the second chapter. So the person who knows that all actions belong to the body alone, all actions do not belong to me, the Chaitanyam, the Atma, all actions belong only to the body, then he differentiates himself, body is karta, body is bhokta, whereas I am akarta, I am abhokta. The jnani knows it all the times. So this difference clearly knows, whereas in the case of an ajnani, he has not yet differentiated between aham, the Atma, and the body, the anatma, he has not done. The ajnani has not. So consequently, what happens when the body acts, when the body does functions, when the body does karma, this person never says that the body acts, he says, I act. The ajnani always says, whenever any action is being done, he doesn't say the body does the karma, he says, I do the karma. He uses first person singular in the body. So he becomes identical with the body. I am doing the action. I am the doer. I am karta. That action he always has, the ajnani. So this doership, we call it in Sanskrit as kartrutva. Doership is called kartrutvam, or I am the doer attitude. I am the doer notion. Born out of what? Born out of the false identification with the body. I am the doership arises out of the false identification with the body, mind and sense organs. That anatma, that alone is called ahankaraha. That's what we saw in the last class. That is called ahankaraha. Whereas the jnani does not have ahankara at all. He doesn't have ahankara notion at all, but has only aham. He doesn't have ahankaraha. He has aham, that notion only he has. Aham is akarta abhokta. So he is not a doer, he is not an enjoyer either. So that is what Krishna said in the 27th shloka, which we saw in the last class. But what he said, he talked about the ajnani's condition. Prakritehe kriyamanani gunaihi karmani sarvashaha. That's what we saw in the last class, in the last shloka. The only point here is what? Instead of using the word body, Krishna used a technical term called prakritehe. So instead of using the word body, Krishna used this word, prakritehe gunaha. Body here is termed as prakriti guna. We explained it in the last class, or matter modification. Prakriti is matter, matter modification. So guna was used in the sense of modification. Guna is not sattva, rajas, tamo gunas, it is in the sense of modification. So when the prakriti gunas, the body, is doing the all the functions, ahankara vimudhatma, ahankara vimudhatma, that ignorant person, that deluded person, that ajnani, who is utterly confused because of what? Because of ahankara. He is utterly confused because of ahankara, because nothing but what? Sharira abhimana, the association with the body. Ahankara is nothing but the association with the body, deha abhimanam or sharira abhimana. And because of that, he claims aham karta iti manyate. That's what he says. He considers himself to be the karta, aham karta. Because of the deha abhimanam, he considers himself as the aham karta. That notion he has. So this is ignorance arising out of this thing. And remember, only kartrutvam has come. All other things will come. Once kartrutvam comes, what comes? Everything else comes along with it. In fact, what? Kartrutvam alone is samsara. The moment I am the doership, that notion comes, samsara comes. Because kartrutva means what? Karma will come naturally. Because I am the karta means karma naturally will come. Because he has to do all actions. Karma means what? Palam will naturally come. When palam comes, somebody has to enjoy or suffer the palam. So bhokta naturally becomes. So aham karta notion leads to all these things. So the kartrutva buddhi, the doer attitude, the doer notion alone is described as ahankara. So all palams, they cannot be exhausted in one janma perhaps. Yeah, that may, it may take several janmas to exhaust all the palams. So what happens? There is a sanchita karma comes and he has to take a birth. So prarabdha karma naturally comes to give a birth. And when he is born, he again does action. So agami karma comes. So all the karma comes just because of this one thing, namely the kartrutva buddhi, the doership. Okay. And once these three things come, what happens? He has to be born again. There is no choice. Punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam. He has to take birth and death. He has to go through this cycle again and again to exhaust the karma, again to sadhikar karma palam. All that he has to do. So the root of all problems is what? Kartrutva buddhi, the doership. I am the doer attitude. So ahankarta, ahankaraha itself is called samsara. Samsara is nothing but the attitude of kartrutvam, aham karta, that attitude alone is samsara. Therefore, ajnani suffers samsara, a jnani does not suffer samsara. That's the difference between them. So, what about a jnani? This is all with respect to an ajnani. That's what we saw in the previous class. Now, what about an ajnani? That's what we are going to see. Now, onwards. Tattva vittu mahabaho.
Tattva vittu mahabaho. Tattva vittu mahabaho.
Gunakarma vibhagayoho.
Gunakarma vibhagayoho. Gunakarma vibhagayoho.
Guna guneshu vartante.
Guna guneshu vartante. Guna guneshu vartante.
Itimatvana sajjate.
Itimatvana sajjate. Itimatvana sajjate.
So he is addressing Arjuna. O Mahabaho, Mahabaho Arjuna, tattva vitittu. Tattva vitu means tattva vitu. the tu. That letter tu indicates the difference between the previous case of an ajnani. Now Krishna is trying to differentiate ajnani and ajnani. So the tu indicates the previous one. Now however, that's what it means. However, or on the other hand, this is what is ajnani is. On the other hand, who is ajnani? He is going to tell now. Tattvavit tu. What does he say? Tattvavit na sajjate. Nana sajjate means the greatness of a tattvavit. Tattvavit means the wise man. The wise person, the jnani, tattvavit, the one who knows the tattva, the person who knows this tattva, the wise man, the one who knows the reality of things. He knows atma, anatma, viveka, he knows. For that person, for the wise person, na sajjate means does not get attached to his karma. A wise person does not get attached to his karma or his shariram, or his body, or his karma phala, or anything. He does not get attached to any of them. Either to his body, or to his action, or the phala himself coming out of that action. He is not attached to any of them. He remains asaktaha. We already saw this term earlier. He remains asaktaha or asangi. Asangaha, all those things we have seen, all those terms earlier. So he remains as an asangi. Who is totally detached, who is not attached to any of them. And what type of wisdom he has got? Krishna says, he gives the wisdom as, he is again using another technical term, Guna karma vibhaga yoho. Guna karma vibhaga yoho. The person who has got the wisdom regarding the divisions of guna and the divisions of karma. So this is the wise man who knows the difference, the divisions of gunas and the divisions of karma. Guna vibhaga cha, karma vibhaga cha. That's what this person knows. So karma vibhaga, the divisions of karma. Guna vibhaga, the divisions of guna. He knows. And that actually Krishna is going to spend a full chapter, chapter 14 later, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogaha, where all these things are going to be discussed in elaborate detail there, but Krishna is only indicating here in this place. So this wise person, he is capable of understanding this. Guna Karma Vibhaga Yoga. So here Guna means what? Guna means the three Guna, Sattva Guna, Rajo Guna and Tamo Guna. These are three things now he knows. So, we should actually carefully note the difference between the terms guna. Guna, Krishna liberally uses guna, guneshu vartate. There are two gunas in that statement itself. So, Krishna liberally uses the term guna in various places. We should understand the meaning very, very clearly. Here, earlier guna meant modification. Prakritehe guna. When he said that, it is modification. Now, guna is not modification, but it is the three gunas. Sattva guna, rajo guna and tamo guna. Actually, to translate guna into English is very difficult. So, we will use it as guna. It's no problem. It's like dharma. You cannot translate dharma very precisely in English. So, use dharma as dharma. So, there is anaguna actually, which means good character. Guna means that person's guna is like that. He's nalla guna. So, people call it. So, it's a guna qualification property there. People use it in those sense also. So, here, the very nature of maya is guna. The very nature of maya, so it is a very, very technical word indicating the composition of maya. We already told earlier, what is the composition of maya? It is nothing but the three gunas only, sattva guna, rajo guna and tamo guna, we saw it earlier. So, we should translate it only as guna. Let us not try to translate it in any way. So, and wherever we talk about gunas, we should also remember that it belongs to maya or prakriti. The moment we talk about guna, whatever may be the guna, sattva guna, rajo guna, tamo guna, does not matter, that they are all what? They belong to maya or prakriti. We have used all these terms earlier. So maya or prakriti, they are what? They are nothing but matter. We already told maya is only matter. Maya is inert. Maya is matter. And because they all belong to them, all these things are also matter only. They are all inert. They are also matter only. So whenever we listen, gunas are there, it belongs to matter. That's what we should understand. When we say sattva guna, belongs to matter. Rajo guna belongs to matter. Tamo guna belongs to matter only. Atma is nirguna. Atma has no gunam at all. Atma is nirgunam. Anatma is having all these three gunas. So, does not have any of these three gunas. Atma does not have any of them at all. It is nirguna. It is neither sattvic, neither rajasic, nor tamasic. That is atma. Atma is nirguna. Everything other than Atma, they will be consisting of these three gunas, maybe in different proportions. One person may be 70% sattvic, maybe 30% or 20% rajasic, 10% tamasic. Another person may be 70% rajasic. So, depending on what is predominant in him, we describe that person is, he is a rajoguna pradana person. He is predominantly rajogana person. So we say that, but everybody is a mixture of all these three gunas. So anything other than Atma, they are all a mixture of all these three gunas. Actually in Krishna, in chapter 14, Krishna will also say, each type of guna compels a person to do that type of particular type of activity. So a sattvic person will do all sattvic activities. It will compel him to do that only. He will not make another choice. A tamoguna person, he will do only tamasya activities. That's, it will compel him to do that. So sattvaguna persuades the person in doing noble activities and so on. Or rajoguna is selfish activity. All selfish activity, rajasic persons will do. Tamasic person, he will do false activities, erratic activities, harmful activities. So these are all done by a tamasic person. So when the body and mind are endowed with these three gunas, all these guna, rajoguna and tamoguna, they are bound to be active and no one can stop it. This is the nature. You cannot stop it. They are bound to be active. Nobody can stop it. And everybody means every body and mind is born out of what? Prakriti, Maya. They are all born out of Prakriti. So everybody's body and mind should consist of these three gunas, sattva guna, rajoguna and tamoguna. Okay? In different proportions. No one can avoid these gunas at the body and mind level. Body, mind level, nobody can avoid this guna. The mind has to be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. Okay. Not only that, from time to time, these gunas will change also. That is another interesting thing. That's good also. So a rajasic person has to be rajasic by the rest of the life. He can change to sattvic. So time to time, these gunas will change. That is why they will vary also. That is why, you know, these days, the children look for compatibility of a person that, you know, he has to be, I should like the same movie like him, blah, blah. All that compatibility they look at. But this compatibility may be at the time of marriage. 10 years later, what? That guy may be a totally different guy. She may be a totally different person. Because gunas change. So at that time, you are looking for compatibility again. So you have to look for compatibility, not in that direction at all. People should learn to accommodate each other. That is how your marriage succeeds. An individual is an individual. You cannot change the quality of it. Over a period of time, they may change their gunas. All these things will happen. But right from the beginning, you accept it and try to learn to adjust each other. So that is how our marriage system always propagated that kind of a thing. Then looking at compatibility, the people would have lived for 20 years and, you know, would have known for another 10 years, and then they will go and get married at 45 and then go to the divorce court after 2 years. So these are possible because that's what they think, that they've got all the adjustment now. They never had any adjustment at all. Adjustment at superficial level only they had. So from the time to time, this changes. So some days are very active days, some days are dull days. We ourselves have seen it in our life. Some days are very active. Some days are dull. Some days are, you know, very, you think of so many things. So we can see ourselves, the fluctuations in us, even day by day. So due to fluctuations in the gunas, we have some days are good, some days are bad. So what a jnani will do, these are all for ajnanis. So what a jnani will do, he will not identify himself with any of these at all. The jnani will not identify himself with any of them, neither sattvic, nor rajasic, nor tamasic quality. He will not identify with any of them. So, guna karma vibhaga yoho tattvavite. The wise person who knows that atma is nirguna and anatma is saguna. The opposite of nirguna is saguna, endowed with gunas. Saguna atma, that will always be involved in one karma or the other. Because that is the nature of it. Whereas the nirguna atma, the chaitanya, aham, is neither sattvic, nor rajasic, nor tamasic. And it is free from all type of good and evil karmas. For the Atma, there is nothing like a good karma or an evil karma. It is free from all those designations. So, the one who knows this, and what does he do, such a person? When he acts in the world, what is his attitude? That is what is given here. A very important line actually, which you have to understand, which differentiates a jnani while he is in action. When the jnani does action, what is the differentiation he makes? Very important line. What does he say? Guna, guneshu, vartante. That's what he says. So here also we should know the meaning of guna. There are two gunas here. Different gunas, you know, different meanings have to be understood. First there is a guna, then there is a guneshu. Two gunas are given here. Okay. The first guna, what refers to what? Refers to the body. Body-mind complex. Refers to the body-mind complex. The sthula, sukshma, karana, sharira. Sthula, sukshma, sharira. And karya, karanatmakaha, gunaha. It refers to that guna. Karya, karanatmakaha gunaha. And the second guneshu, that guna in the guneshu, that refers to the external objects. External objects, vishayatmakaha. We have already told external objects, vishayas. So, vishayatmakaha. So, first gunaha refers to karya karanatmakaha and the second guna in the guneshu refers to vishayatmakeshu. Sense objects. Now, how can you differentiate the two meanings now? This is possible because karya karana, that means the body. Body is a product of what? The body is also a product of the three gunas only. The body is a product of the three gunas. Actually, we have already seen that, we outlined it in the Tattva Bodha. From the, I will just only again refresh again, because it's better to refresh all the time. Sattva guna of maya, from the sattvic aspect of maya. Sattva guna of maya, what came? The mind came and the sense organs came. So, from the sattvic aspect of maya, the mind and the sense organs came. From the rajasic aspect of maya, rajoguna, what happens? The karmendriyas came, all the organs of action. They all came, and also the pancha pranas, the five different physiological functions that came. And from the tamoguna of the maya, what came? The sthula shariram came, the gross body came. So this we have to understand that. So sthula, sukshma, sharira are only the modification, the vikaras of the three gunas. Okay? This gross body, subtle body and all, they are only the modification of the three gunas. So they can be called gunas. Because they are modification of gunas, you call them gunas. So born out of gunas. That when you call them gunas, it means born out of gunas. That's what they are. So they can be called gunas. So guna janyatvat, they are called gunas. Guna janyatvat. Okay. Since it is born out of gunas. So it is also called gunas. So similarly, the external objects, all the external objects, they are also born out of gunas only. All the shayas. Whatever object they are also we see in the world, they are also born out of gunas, panchikaranam. We use the word panchikaranam during Tattva Bodha. When I just outlined it, panchikaranam was done, and afterwards the grass elements and the grass elements modified alone, they became the various sense objects. So that's what is panchikaranam, the grassification. Panchikaranam was the grassification, that step happened and everything becomes grassified into various objects. Therefore what? The external objects are also guna. Matter. Our body is also guna. Matter. Both are matter, both are inert. So, matter and matter will always interact. Matter and matter will always interact. Normally what do we say? The birds of the same feather, they flock together. So, the gunas, but this is also based on gunas, that is also based on gunas, they will interact. So, this is also trigunatmika, material body. And world also is trigunatmakam, the material world. So this is material body, that is also material world. So material and material will always interaction. Interaction will be there. So there will be varieties of interactions. Varieties of situations will come in real life. When it is very hot outside, the body will interact. It will sweat. When it is very cold outside, body will interact. It will shiver. All these things will happen. When there is a lot of disease outside, body will interact. It will get sick. Who can stop it? All these things will happen. As when time passes, body will interact. Agam kalitam, palitam mundam, dashana vihinam, jatam, tundam. That's what Arjuna Acharya says. Time is also material in nature, body also is material in nature. So the material time and the material body, they interact. And what happens? We grow old. Because of this interaction, who can stop it? We will grow old only. No one can stop this. We will get sickness, all these things because of the interaction only. So, deshem, kala, desha, kala, nimitta. All these things will have to interact with the body. They are all interact with the body and the body has to respond in the form of comfort and discomfort sometimes. Sometimes you will have a comfortable interaction. Sometimes you will have a discomfort, pleasure, pain. Nobody can stop this. It will go on forever. Okay. But we can make some peripheral changes as we are intellectuals, right? We can make some peripheral changes, perhaps by taking medicines. This medicine and that medicine we can take. But cannot make a person young by taking medicine. He will grow old only. Can he reverse the time? Can never do that. So a person has to go through all these things. Perhaps the signs of growth may be reduced. Or maybe are hidden most times. Put all this pay here and all you can believe. Yes, reduce the symbol of. You can do all that thing you can do. You may feel perhaps also. You may feel youngish also, but we cannot stop the growth of the body or death. We cannot stop at all. Therefore, we have only a little bit of freedom within matter. the matter body, you have some freedom to do here and there. That's all. We cannot totally stop or change it. We cannot do it at all. This knowledge we should have. So the wise man says, guna guneshu vartante. The body has to act in the world. It acts. It does act. And it has to reap the results also. And it reaps. The wise man understands this very clearly. Whereas aham, I am not matter. I am consciousness. That's what the wise man knows all the time. And because of this, he never gets better by these changes at all. So consciousness neither acts in the world nor reap any result in the world also. The consciousness never does any of those things at Atma. So aham akarta, aham abhokta. That the jnani knows. Jnani knows all the time. It is part of him. This knowledge is with him 24 hours a day. Whatever engagement he is in does not matter, but this he has in his time, in his mind all the time. But we should remember that I am very much intimately pervading the matter. That we should know. The jnani knows that even though he is not a doer, but he intimately pervades every cell of the body. The chaitanyam, because of that only body has the ability to function. If chaitanyam is not there, if chaitanyam doesn't pervade every cell of the body, how the body can function? Body is inert. A dead body is inert body. What is the difference between a dead body and a live body? Both are inert. If you look at the physical chemical composition of both of them are same. But why this body acts and that body doesn't? Because presence of chaitanyam is here. This body is capable of reflecting chaitanyam, so this body is alive and kicking. Once this body loses the ability to reflect chaitanyam, it becomes a dead body. It's an inert body. Composition wise, both are same only, there is no difference. The same body, the wife who loved the body for all those years, perhaps, when the body is dead, what she will say? Please move as quickly as possible. That is the nature of the world. Because it is a body. It is no more. There is no chaitanyam, is not there. It is not, that body is not enlivened. So it is just inert matter. So that's what we say. So this, I am standing actionlessly, even though I am pervading in and through all of them as chaitanyam, but I am standing away actionlessly watching them all. So it is not a witness, normally a witness does what? Witness doesn't engage in action, witness separately his minds and people do things. Witness doesn't engage in any activity, witness stands separately and everybody does things, he is watching them. His witness is not involved in the action normally. The witness will stand separate, but in the case of Atma what happens? The Atma is not involved in the action, alright, but Atma is not far away. Atma is very intimately connected. Atma is in every cell of the body. Very intimate. But Atma is not the doer. The body is the doer. So I, the Atma, am intimately pervading every cell of my body. Every cell of this body, why this body? The entire universe. But at the same time, I am not least affected even by whatever happens to this body. That the jnani knows. The jnani knows consciously all the time. So it is antaryami, true. Consciousness is antaryami. It's the indweller. Parantu asangaha. Antaryami, indweller, true. It is there in every cell. Parantu, but is asangaha, not attached. Totally detached. Iti matva. This awareness, a jnani enjoys all the time. This knowledge, the jnani has all the time. Iti matva. And at the time of, for example, diseases, or when failure comes, because failure comes, disease comes, the other people, they criticize him, some people praise him, all those things happen, some people will scold him, all the time he remembers this particular fact. They are all for the body. Nothing affects me. So he says, iti matva, iti jnatva, matva means iti jnatva, thus knowing, na sajate. He is absolutely detached. This jnani is absolutely not attached. That's what he said. The difference between a jnani and an ajnani is jnani is asangaha. He is a detached person, whereas an ajnani is sangha. Attachment. Ajnani has sangha, jnani has asangaha. He is asangaha, sanghi. So that has been actually technically explained in the way now. And he has got detachment. Jnani has got detachment. What? Means what? He never takes the action to himself. That's what the jnani does. When he says he is detached, it means he never takes the action to himself. He knows aham akarta. He knows aham abhokta. He is doing actions, but he knows I am not the doer. Whereas Ajnani has got the attachment. That means what? He claims the action to himself. The Ajnani claims the action to himself and says, Aham Karta. Jnani says, Aham Akarta. He says, Aham Karta. Therefore, Kartrutvam Eva Saktihi. Kartrutvam Eva Saktihi. Akartrutvam Eva Asakti. So, in the last class, actually, when I concluded the last class, what I said, I raised the question and stopped. The last class, if you remember. What was that? The question was, Jnani is Asangaha, free from attachment. Jnani is Asangaha. But in the second chapter, Krishna said discussing about Karma Yoga, but was said, a Karma Yogi also is Asangaha. He is also not attached. Right? We said there. A Karma Yogi is also not attached. Now we are saying he is also not attached. That's what we are saying. So yogastu kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya. Sangam tyaktva. That's what we use at that time. Krishna used the word. So karma yogi also is supposed to give up sangha. Association. Karma yogi also is supposed to give up sangam. And jnani is also, he is the one who also is asangi. He is also a person who has given up sangha. So, but what is the difference between these two? Both are very different. This is an incidental point. Krishna does not say it. But this we have to understand it very clearly. The difference between a Karma Yogi and a Jnani. A Karma Yogi also is supposed to give up Sangha. Association. A Jnani is also supposed to give up Sangha. Association. But what is the difference between them? A Karma Yogi is still an Ajnani only. A Karma Yogi is a good person. But still he is an Ajnani only. He has not gained what? Atma Jnanam. He doesn't have this knowledge. Aham Brahmasmi Jnanam is not there with him. He is a noble person though. He is a good person though. He is superior to whom? To a Karmi. A person who is only action oriented person. For selfish reasons and all. Compared to him, he is very superior person. A Karma Yogi is very superior. But still he is not a Jnani. He still has the Ajnanam. He has still the body notion, he still has. And since he is an Ajnani, he does not know that he is different from the body. He doesn't know that he is Chaitanya Swarupaha, he doesn't know. He doesn't consider himself different from the body. He will necessarily identify with the body and will have what? Kartrutva Buddhi. The doer notion he will have. He may, whatever action he does, he may give it to Lord. Ishwar Aspranam he can do. But he thinks he does. Whatever I do, I give it to the Lord. That's what he thinks. So, Ishwar Arpana Buddhi is there for him. The doership is with him. So, Ahankara is with him. Kartrutva Buddhi is with him. Whereas in the case of a Jnani, what happens? He is not an Ajnani. He doesn't have Deha Abhimanam at all. Whereas the Ajnani has Deha Abhimanam, association with the body. Whereas Jnani does not have, and he does not have Kartrutva Buddhi also. So Ajnani has Kartrutva Buddhi to her attitude, whereas a Jnani does not have that. Deha Abhimanam is not there. Then what is the difference between the detachment of these two people? The Jnani and Ajnani. What is the difference between the both should be Asangaha, right? What is the difference between the detachment? In the case of a Karma Yogi, he says, I am Karta. Aham Karta, he says. But he also says that I am offering the action to the Lord. I am offering the action that I do to the Lord. That's what a Karma Yogi says. Right? So Ishwara Arpana Buddhi he has. But he thinks he is doing the action and he is giving it to the Lord. So because he is doing the action, he is a Bhokta also. The one who does the action should be the enjoyer of the action too. So he is Bhokta also. But he receives the palam with what attitude? As Ishwara Prasadaha. So he did the action. But he gave action to the Lord, and when the time of prasadam comes, when the result comes, he receives the action as Ishwara Prasada. Because he is able to avoid reaction in this process. What he has done as a Karma Yogi, he is able to avoid reaction based on the result. Because normally people react when the result comes. They get angry, they get happy, they get all the, they get sorrowful. All those things happen based on the reaction. Because when something happens, yeah. Yes.
For all action, but
yeah.
Does he
give
the karma palam, like all the
positive
and the good and bad palam comes since
he's given prasada? Yeah, he will get the palam, but he gives it as Ishwara, takes it as
Ishwara
prasada.
So then it's not
perfect.
So then rebirth and all those things.
No, you got punya.
Oh, so he does give
it. Yes, he has to enjoy it, right?
So because
he gets punya. Right? When you do good activities, you get punya.
But if it comes, if
he takes it as the prasadam of the Lord, he takes it.
No,
she's asking about jnani. No, he's telling you about dharma yogi. He takes the prasadam, he shall, whatever action he does, he offers to the Lord. Only he avoided reaction. He doesn't get excited or he doesn't become sorrowful or anything. He takes whatever comes, he takes it. But he takes it. So he will have punya problems. And the tatrutva buddhi will be there. Deha vimana is there. That cannot be. So if you get punya, you will enjoy it. So every birth has to be born. There's no choice.
By this definition, does that mean the jnani can never perform a wrong action?
Jnani can perform any action. But that doesn't bind him. That is why we told earlier. Jnani can get angry. Okay. But it doesn't bind him. Where the anger goes, it has to have some effect. The people around him, who are all praising him, they get the jnani's punya. Who are all, you know, doing dushanam of him, they criticize him, they do wrong to him, this karma goes to those people. It affects them. That's why when you come to acharyas and that, you are very, very careful, you are very afraid, you are go near them to say things because you don't want to offend them. Jnani is asanga. He is asangi. He doesn't have no connection at all. He doesn't want of any action or any result.
For element of unaccountability,
what happened?
If he does the madharmam, then also he can get away with it.
That's what I'm telling. Ask
thing is,
No, Pandamudiyadhan, you are correct. Pandamudiyadhan, see, what the jnani does, even noble qualities a person is supposed to live. Sarvadharmam parityajya, even sattvaguna has to be left. Right? That's what Krishna tells me. Right? So, jnani can do some karmas which you, in your thing, may not be a correct karma or maybe a wrong karma, which may not be possible. That's possible. But jnani doesn't associate with them at all. He does any karma without any association. So how it can ever touch him? It is like water sitting on a lotus leaf. Water is sitting on that. That's true. It doesn't affect the leaf at all. So water can be any water. It can be a dirty water. It can be any water. It doesn't affect the leaf. So jnani can do any karma. But jnani does the karma with this attitude. The total attitude. Internally he knows, I am not this karma. But because of the tapas, they will be internally conditioned not to do wrong things. Because that is the tapas. The tapas leads to that. The discipline leads them not to do wrong things.
Mama, in the previous shloka, you were talking about that three gunas, right? And in that, you were saying, like even in the marriage, we look for the three gunas and to see the compatibility. Is that...
in the marriage, did I say that? I don't think I
said that. No, he said something different. Is that you cannot match the guna because gunas keep changing.
Because now these days, you know, look for compatibility when they want to, you know, choose a person and all. Earlier we used to go through all this jatakam and all that thing. But now these days children demand that they should know person compatibility and all that thing. But the compatibility based on some of these things that can change over a period of time. So what you consider compatibility today may not be compatible after 5 years.
Oh, okay. No, because why I asked you the question was in a marriage, right, they are look for this Deva, Manushya and Rakshasa.
Yeah, all these Rakshanas, yeah.
Yeah. So is that the same as this Traiguna?
Kind of, yeah. Because some people are Devagana, some Rakshasagana, all these Manushagana, all these things, that's what the Ganapurutam, they see that. So some of these things are similar to that. But in the Jadavya will tell from some angle. But what I am telling is different. These days what is happening, I am telling. Because normally people, you know, children, they want to look for compatibility, they want to move, understand everything, all that thing they do, right? But that itself is a changing. So you are now going after a changing target. That's what I am telling. Yes.
So in this Janma, if you try to be a karma yogi, if you try to be a karma yogi, there is a chance of working toward becoming a jnani during the next Janma.
Well, in this Janma itself it is possible. Why is there next Janma? If you have become a karma yogi, that is the first requirement. So once you get internal purity of the mind, you can go to jnana marga right now.
By the time I reach there.
If you reach there, okay. If you already decided that, I cannot. I can only say, maybe you can do now, but you want to be fine.
No, so I have to take the Janma to be, to see if...
If for somebody, for example, he has become a good karma yogi now, and he has not gone into jnana marga, he cannot get moksha now. He has to get another chance to go to moksha. But the problem is here, there is a small detail here. what is fructifying in the bundle of sanchita karma that you have acquired so far, you do not, you have no control on that. Maybe in that bundle, the next janma may not be a manushya janma. Very hard. That is why they say this manushya janma is very durlabham, very very difficult to get. Because we have got this janma for some good reason, we got this. And when we have got this, we have to make the best use of this janma and get out of the cycle. Try to get out of the cycle now. But Krishna is very, very, he clears very clearly. We are going to see later. You have a lot of good things now, karma yogi you have become. You also went to jnana marga. You are coming to all these things. You want to pursue that. But you have not, before you gained jnana, prarabdha ended, a person died. Prarabdha, you cannot do anything, but you die. Then will it be all a waste? No. Whatever he has pursued now, in birth, whichever birth he takes when it takes a manushya janma, wherever he left now, he will start there. He doesn't have to start from Eparakavya. He will start from there. So that is why you get a lot of these people who are all child prodigies, who are all people who got evolved right from their childhood, because they were all like that, pursued jnana marga or whatever they were doing, very so much in this thing, but prarabdha ended. And some circumstance, some situation might have just prompted them in this janma. They just, everything came to them. They may not remember that thing, those details, but they are all there. That will come. Those vasanas are there and they will start from there. It is easy for them. So nothing goes to waste. So jnana marga will never go. So if you, a person, but first step for why we, I prescribe everybody to go to karma yoga to start with this, we are not in that at all yet. That is the requirement. To pursue jnana marga, we should become internally pure people. Samskaras, all these things, they condition us to have that qualification to be a person who is qualified to receive jnana. So we have to first do that. So all these rituals, rituals mean not, I mean, not yajnas and yagas, you have to understand that. Ritual means any action that we do with this attitude. We have to convert those actions to karma yoga. That is the first step. Then internally we will be pure. Once that is done, jnanam will make sense to us. Otherwise we can never pursue jnana. So in the last class also I told, na buddhi bedam janayat, Krishna is going to talk again in the next sloka now. You do not teach jnanam to a person who is not prepared yet. You will cause only confusion to him. When he is in the material world, if he wants to enjoy the desire, let him enjoy. No problem. Let him enjoy. But to that person, if you go and tell all these things, he is going to confuse that person. Don't do that. Krishna is going to tell clearly again in the next book. We are going to see it. But we already saw that also. But to become a karma yogi, we have to make it as the first step. First go to become a karma yogi. From a karmi to a karma yogi, you should become. Any action you do, arpanam to the Lord. Any prasad, anything comes, take as prasad at the Lord. Then most problems will be solved because that will control your reaction. We normally react very quickly for small things. So once that reaction goes away, that itself is a very big step. As much as possible, we should put. But it should not come out of suppression. It should come out of understanding. If you suppress your reaction, it is going to explode somewhere else. You may not get angry with your wife, you will get angry with your son. So suppression doesn't help. Understanding only helps. You have to understand and then you should stop. Okay. Anything else? Okay. So because so a jnani, he does not offer his karma to the Lord. A karma yogi does. A jnani does not offer his karma to the Lord. Why? I have no karma at all. No offer to the Lord. I am akarta. Right? A jnani knows he is akarta. He has no karma to offer to the Lord. So what should he do? Ishwar arpanam of any karma? He has no karma at all. Or jnani, he doesn't have to. And again, actually if you go one step deeper, that is Advaitam comes. This is not Advaitam. The moment up to when at the light of Advaitam, he does not even see a Lord separate from him to offer. There is no Lord standing in front of him to offer anything. That is what is Advaita when he has that jnana. For him, the Ishvara is himself. Aham Brahma Asmi Jnanam Amritirka. He has that. So, further inquiry, we don't have to go through it now because Krishna is not talking about that right now. But at least, now we should know at least this difference between a jnani and an ajnani. So, a jnani does not offer the action because he does not do any action. He doesn't claim ownership. He doesn't have this kartrutva buddhi. That is so, and because of that, he does not receive also the karma phalam. So, there is no prasada buddhi also he doesn't have. He doesn't have to have. Okay. So he never receives any with any buddhi. No prasada buddhi, no arpana buddhi, none of those things are there for a jnani. Because if he does karma, if he has gone, you know, if he has done karma, then he has to reap also. So what he has not done, you know, as a karma, any karma, there is no palam also for him to enjoy or suffer for a jnani. So he does not have prasada buddhi also. He does not have arpana buddhi, he does not have prasada buddhi also. Whereas a karma yogi has both the buddhis. Because kartrutvam is there for him. So on the part of a jnani, detachment means akartrutvam, non-doership. For a jnani, detachment means, when we say jnani is detached, what we mean is he has akartrutva buddhi, non-doership buddhi, non-doership attitude. And because of that, abhoktrutvam also, non-enjoyership also. Whereas on the part of a karma yogi, detachment means what? Detachment is being non-reactive. For a jnani, it is akartrutva buddhi. For a karma yogi, it is being non-reactive. That is the difference between these two. So one it is non-reaction, for the other it is akartrutvam and abhoktrutvam. The sangha of a karma yogi and the sangha of a jnani are of a very, very different quality. We have to understand that very clearly. Even though both of them are supposed to be a sangha, but this is fundamental difference between them. But one thing you should know, everyone has to practice karma yogi's asangatvam only first. Everybody has to practice karma yogi's asangatvam only first, and later only they can come to jnani's asangatvam. Not just immediately, it's not possible. This is gradual. By this krama only one can come. Karma yogi sasangatvam is only a stepping stone. Only a stepping stone, but the goal is what? Jnani sasangatvam. We are talking about jnani, that is the goal. This we have to understand very, very clearly, because Krishna will indiscriminately use the word asangaha everywhere. We have to understand in what context he used and understand it properly. Okay. We may confuse even sometimes. If they are, you know, both the same, why should one come to jnana yoga at all? Yeah, that question will come. I can be a karma yogi and be happy. Why should I come to jnana yoga and learn all these things? There is no need at all. Because no karma yogi's asangaha is of an inferior quality. It cannot lead you to moksha. Because of that it is inferior. It's a noble quality, but it will not lead to moksha. So it is, that way it is inferior. If it is not converted to a superior quality, that jnana yogi is asangatvam, that asanga will go away after some time. For some time he may feel that he is not attached, but after some time it will go away because it is not permanent. It is not done out of this awareness, this knowledge. Because it is only a precariously balanced asanga. It is not a real asanga, it is a precariously balanced asanga. So only a temporary asanga. Only maybe like a first aid, and it is not a cure. Karma yogi sasangatvam is a detachment, is only like a first aid. Prakritir guna sammoodaha.
Prakritir guna sammoodaha. Prakritir guna sammoodaha.
Sajjante guna karmasum.
Sajjante guna karmasum. Sajjante guna karmasum.
Prakritir guna sammoodaha. Sajjante guna karmasum.
Prakritir guna sammoodaha.
Krishnavido mandana.
Tana Krishnavido mandana. Tana Krishnavido mandana.
Krishnavinna vichalayed.
Krishnavinna vichalayed. Krishnavinna vichalayed.
Tana Krishnavido mandana. Krishnavinna vichalayed.
Tana Krishnavido mandana. Krishnavinna vichalayed.
Krishna talks about an ajnani, an ignorant person once again. Then he comes to our topic that a jnani should not confuse an ajnani. He already said earlier, na buddhi bedam janayet, he already told. So do not call buddhi beda, confusion, do not call. So prakritehe guna sammooda. Guna means these three gunas, sattva, rajo and tamo gunas. So tamrupa gunaha, all these three gunas. Sammooda, those who are deluded. Those who are absolutely confused by the three gunas of prakriti. Prakriti gunas. by all the three gunas. What happens to those people? Sajjante guna karmasu. They get completely attached. Sajjante means they completely get attached to, they get involved into the activities of the gunas. That's what they do. All those people, they who are deluded by these gunas, they get completely attached, they completely involved in the activities of the gunas. And what are the activities of the gunas? Actually, Krishna does not say it here. He will clarify them in the 14th chapter. He is going to do that. But for our information, we can just, an outline we can remember. Sattvic karma, that normally refers to noble qualities or selfless activities. All sattvic activities are noble qualities, selfless activities. And all the rajasic karmas, they refer to selfish activities. The other one is selfless, this is selfish. And tamasic karma, they can be negative, harmful, erratic activities. It is adequate if you know that much now, but Krishna is going to talk about them later in detail. So, in them, this person, in all these activities, this person, this ajnani, will be attached. And all the three attachments are only what? Bondage. Any such attachment is only bondage. Even sattvic activity is also a bondage. You have to understand it very clearly. Even noble karmas also is a bondage. Why? Noble karmas will lead to punya. So punya will means you have to enjoy this thing, you have to, but has to come. It's also a bondage. Because selfless activity also requires why? Why it becomes like that? Selfless activity also requires ahankara. Ego is needed for selfless activity also. I am the doer. I built all these things. I did all these noble things. I did so many karmas. I notion. Because selfless activity also requires the ego. But the difference is only a golden bondage compared to another iron bondage. A tamasic and a sattvic. These are the golden. A person is put in a first class jail, another person puts in a Samadhanur jail. That's only difference. Both are jail. Okay. But all three are bondages. That is why at the end of the Gita, he will say, Sarva Dharman Parityajya. Sarva Dharman Parityajya. Dharma refers to sattvic also. Sattvic. Because all of the rajasic, tamasic, you have already, the person has converted from rajasic to sattvic, tamasic to rajasic to sattvic, he has already done. Even that, you leave. Sarva dharma parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Krishna says at that time. So that is called without being any bondage. No bondage at all. It also, because that our sattvic activities also requires kartrutvam. It involves kartrutvam. So punarjanma will be there. Because kartrutvam is there. So one person is, he is due to a pap karma, he is born. Another person is born because of punya karma. Birth is same. Both have to be born. So we should remember all the three gunas, they lead to bondages, bandhana. Okay. So Krishna says, those people who are confused because of their attachment to prakriti's activities, prakriti guna, prakriti's activities, sajjante guna karmasu, they get involved in the activities of the gunas. All those people get involved. Then such people, the wise man should not confuse such people. That's what he says. The wise person, when they are bound by, involved in these activities, let not the wise man confuse them. Krishnavite. Krishnavite means, in the second line, Krishnavite means a wise person. Krishna, actually, Krishnam means sarva, all. The total, the whole. The one, Viti means the knower, the one who knows the total. The one who is aware of everything, that Krishnavite, that jnani. Krishnavite means sarvavit. Sarvavit means sarvajnaha. Sarvajnaha, a jnani, a person who knows everything. A wise man is sarvajnaha. Na vichalayet, should not disturb, should not confuse. Whom? Akrishnavido mandan. Those people who do not know things completely. Akrishnavite. Who have only incomplete knowledge. And why they have incomplete knowledge? Because mandan. They are with limited intellect. Those people, they don't have the discriminative ability at all. So such people, for mandabuddhis, people with such mandabuddhi, do not confuse them. You should not confuse such people. So a wise man should not confuse the ordinary lay person who does not have the complete knowledge at all. And who has got lot of desires. He doesn't have the knowledge, but lot of desires he has. He wants this, that and all in this world. He wants everything in the world. Such a person should not be confused. Don't go and tell that guy, oh, you are having all these desires, they are all going to bind you, you should not gather, you are going to get papa punya. Don't tell any of these things. You want to enjoy? Enjoy. No. Tell him karma yoga first. Instead, teach him karma yoga. What does Krishna mean here? The second line is only a repetition of the 26th shloka we saw earlier. Na buddhi bedam janayet. That shloka. Do not confuse them. Do not cause confusion to them. A man of worldly desires must remain in the field of karma. Yes, he has worldly desires. You do not want to ask him to suppress the desire. He has to come out of them by understanding. So you don't tell him to suppress and come out. It's not possible. So do not suddenly tell, you know, karma cannot give moksha to that guy. Karma cannot give you moksha. So take sannyasa. Don't draw these things to him. You tell him it's a problem. So do not pull a worldly man out of the world. Let him be in the world. Let him enjoy the world if he thinks that he's enjoying them. Let him remain in the field of karma. Let him in the field of activities. Teach him what? Instead, karma yoga. Do not tell him come to take sannyasa and go to jnana marga. Teach him karma yoga and let him get polished because of karma yoga. And after polishing him in the world, we have to polish him in this world only. After polishing him in the world, if he wants, because at that time he will have some discriminative ability. If he wants, take him out of karma and teach him jnana marga. That's what he says. So confusing the worldly people, that is like talking of sannyasa and all, to a worldly person, worldly minded person, a wise person should never do. That's what Krishna says, you should never do that. Then what should we talk about? Remain wherever you are. Be wherever you are, no problem at all. Fulfill all your desires. But make those desires dharmic desires. Don't put adharmic desires. Fulfill all your desires, let them be driven by dharma, but do it as karma yoga. So be involved in activity. But instead of remaining as a karmi, become a karma yogi. So he can teach him that. Because he is still action oriented. He wants to enjoy the pleasures of the world. Fine. But we teach him as to become a karma yogi. Give that training to him. That's what he says. Without that, if you give him sannyasa, if you want to make him a sannyasi and take him, you know, what will happen? He will be still in, he may be in the ashrama of sannyasa ashrama, but mind will be there. He won't evolve out of that. Karmendriyan samyamya yaaste manasasparana manasasparana indriyatan vimudatma mithyachara sa uchyate. We have been said that really mithyacharaha sa uchyate. He will be an external sannyasi. Mithyachara. False sannyasi. But internally, that person, he will be a hypocrite only. Internally, he will be the most worldly minded person because he has not come out of that. And there will be this disparity, hypocrisy, all these problems will be there for others and for himself. That is why we see many of these Swamijis and all these people, they engage in, they leave, all those things happen because they are not evolved people. If you give them by force, that is why the rigor, when they take some small young boys at very, very young age and give them sannyasa ashrama, the rigor of training is very severe. They go through a lot of training before they become a full thing because the mind has to be conditioned. The mind is not conditioned, it is very, very difficult. They will be still, they will again try to go back to the, you know, worldly affairs only. So a jnani should take extra responsibility. That's what he should take. He should not pull a person from the worldly things. He has to make that person do karma yoga first. So all these ideas we already saw in sloka 20. In that sloka we already saw. Krishna is only indicating all those things here again. So a wise man should not confuse an ignorant person, a worldly minded person. And therefore, Arjuna, if you should not confuse, we have to understand why all these things. Arjuna, he is talking to Arjuna, no jnani, we are talking about to Arjuna. If you should not confuse an ignorant person, you should make them to do activity. You should make them to do activity in the world. For that, what you should do? You yourself should do activity. You cannot say, run away from this field. So you should do yourself activity. You must be active, engage in this battle. So if you have to make others active, you have to make others active, then the only way is that you yourself should be active. Okay. Therefore, loga sangrahamevahi sampashyanem kartum arhasi. So do not get out of this war. Mayi sarvani karmani.
Mayi sarvani karmani. Mayi sarvani karmani.
Sanyasya sanyasya adhyatma chetasam.
Sanyasya adhyatma chetasam. Sanyasya adhyatma chetasam.
Mayi sarvani karmani. Sanyasya adhyatma chetasam.
Mayi sarvani karmani. Sanyasya adhyatma chetasam. Mayi sarvani karmani. Sanyasya adhyatma chetasam.
Nirashir nirmamo bhutvam.
Nirashir nirmamo bhutvam.
युध्यस्व विगतज्वर विगतज्वरः निराशीर्निर्ममो भूत्वा युध्यस्व विगतज्वरः
निराशीर्निर्ममो भूत्वा
So with the previous sloka, sloka number 29, the loka sangraha topic is over. We told we started from sloka 20, 20 to 29 is the loka sangraha topic. That was over. Okay. We started the second line of sloka 20. But we should remember that this is only a hypothetical argument here, because assuming Arjuna is a jnani. Yeah, Krishna gave all these things assuming Arjuna as a jnani. But Arjuna is may not be a jnani, he is not a jnani. So this argument may not be necessary at all. Because he is asking him to do karma now. He doesn't have to give an account. But Krishna wants to give it for the sake of argument, for the sake of completion he gives. Even though it may, perhaps may not be needed. Krishna assumed even the impossible if Arjuna is a jnani at that time. So he even in that case, even if Arjuna has to be a jnani, he has to still engage in karma. That's what Krishna wanted to emphasize. So that is why he went through this entire discussion. It may look perhaps for us out of context, but it is not so because Krishna's intention is different. So having completed that topic, now Krishna is completing in the 30th shloka, this shloka, the entire karma yoga topic. So he gives a kind of a nutshell, a kind of a summary of all the discussions that we gave earlier in this shloka. So karma yoga topic started from what? Niyatam kuru karmatvam onwards. That is from the 8th shloka to the 20th shloka, all those things came. Then 20th onwards to 29th was the loka sangraha topic. That's what he gave. So now karma yoga topic is concluded by Krishna. In this shloka, Krishna is trying to conclude the karma yoga topic. So what is the difference between karma yoga and loka sangraha? The difference between karma yoga and loka sangraha. Karma yoga belongs to whom? Ajnani. Karma yoga belongs to ajnani and loka sangraha belongs to ajnani. So when a jnani does a karma, we don't say jnani did this activity, jnani did loka sangraha. That is what we use. That's why I told those days don't say Vivekananda is a karma yogi. Vivekananda is a jnani. He's not a karma yogi. So all the, when we want to describe when the same action done by a jnani, don't call it a karma yoga. Call it as loka sangraha. Okay, that is the term. So karma yoga belongs to a jnani and loka sangraha belongs to a jnani. It's a very, very important shloka, 30th shloka. The entire karma yoga is summed up, is given in a nutshell, in one beautiful shloka, small shloka. The essence of karma yoga. What are the things he says? Karma yoga consists of five important points, summarized very nicely here. Five important points, karma yoga. What is the first one? Adhyatma chetaha. Adhyatma chetaha. Actually, Adi Shankaracharya, he translates adhyatma chetaha as viveka buddhi. The discriminative ability, the first condition or the criterion of a karma yogi is what? One should be able to discriminate, we should be very clear whether material prosperity is what one wants or spiritual growth is what one aspires. He should know it very, very clearly. Which is my goal? Whether I want to pursue preyo marga, which is material pursuit, or do I want to follow the shreyo marga, which is the spiritual pursuit. This choice is available to everybody when they take birth. This choice of pursuing material wealth or spiritual progress is available for everyone. What one wants to take is his choice, other choice. So what you want as far, this person should know, a karma yogi should know clearly what he wants to pursue. So he comes adhyatma chetaha, the one who he is going to talk about the details later, but this is one condition. And second, yudhyasva vigatajvaraha. Yudhyasva vigatajvaraha, performance of duty. You should perform your duty. So karma, all those things, karma karanam and niyatam, all the anushtanam, everything. In case of Arjuna, it is fighting this battle. So yudhyasvayam vigatajvaraha. You have to perform your duty. As a duty, it should be performed. You do everything as a duty. Then mayi karmani samyamya. Ishware karma sanyasa. So mayi karmani refers to Ishware for the sake of the Lord. Here also we have to know what? The note the word sannyasa. sannyasa. So sannyasa does not mean renunciation, but offering as arpana, Ishwara arpana. It is not sannyasa in the sense of renunciation. This is sannyasa in the sense of offering it to the Lord. Whatever action I do, I offer it to the Lord. Ishwaram arpana buddhi. So Ishwaram karma samarpana. All the activities I do, I offer them to the Lord. I do all the actions as an offering to the Lord. So this is the third one. So adhyatma chetaham yudhyasvam vigadajvaraham then mayi karmani sanyanya. Then nirashi. Nirashi means what? Without concern for the result. I should do any karma without the concern for the result. No expectation whatsoever. I should have no expectation at all. So nirgataham asishaham. Yes, mata saha nirashi. So never be anxious about what the result will be. Keep on doing the karma as a duty. Do it very well, but never be expecting the result. What will be there? No expectation. Then nirmamaha, fifth criterion. When the result comes, you do an action, the result will naturally come. When the result comes, never have the mamakara buddhi. It is my achievement. I got it. No. Never have that thing. Actually, in Keno Parishad, it's a beautiful story. All the devas thought, you know, they are the greatest. They know everything. That's what they thought. Asmakam evam, asmaka eva ayam vijayaha. All this victory is all due to us. That's what they thought. Asmakam evam, ayam mahima. All these glories are all ours. That's what the devas thought. So the Lord wanted to teach them a lesson. So there was this exodus which was there from heaven to earth. So Indra, somebody came and reported to Indra, there is something like that, a huge thing. So Indra said, go take care of it. Then Indra said, Agni said, oh, I will go take care of you. You don't have to go, let's go take care of you. So he came. Agni came, he tried to burn it. Nothing happened. Agni only got tired. Then Vayu came, he thought he will blow it away. No, Vayu could do nothing. So all these great, great forces, who thought they can try to maneuver this? None of them could do anything to that. They all came humbled. And Uma has to come to raise the awareness in them. Guys, think, it is Paramatma that is doing this. So you don't claim any superiority over that. So she has to teach that. So this is what happens. So they got into trouble, and because of that, you know, the Lord literally banged them and gave them this knowledge. So nirmamaha, mamakara should go. So if these five conditions are there, then the person is called a karma yogi. So karma yogi, what are the five conditions? Viveka buddhi should be there. That's what first one was, the viveka buddhi. And karma karanam means performance of one's duty. And whatever duty one does, Ishwara arpanam should be offered to the Lord. And one should be nirashi with respect to what? With respect to the concern for the palam, for the result of the karma. No expectations whatsoever. And finally, mamakara should not be there. The absence of ownership. I am the true attitude. Try to minimize as much as possible. Still as a karma yogi, you will be there. Mamakara should not be there. Because still kartutvam is there, but minimize it. Don't claim too much into that. At least things that it is by Ishwara anugraha, I am doing that. At least develop that humility. So one should have all that thing. So yes, sarvani karmani. So sannyasya atma chetasam nira ashir nirmamo bhutvam yudhyasvam vigatajvara. That's what Krishna said. So up to this topic is over. Now Krishna is going to take up the next topic from the next shloka onwards. So we have to give the summary of this thing maybe later, and then try to see how 25-20. So if I take this more, it will be. So I will take the next topic maybe from the next class. It has to be a little more elaboration. I cannot finish it by 5:30. So we will begin the next class. Okay, all these five things, and we will explain these five things also maybe in some more detail in the next class. Because it will be important.
Yo vedadav swara prabho vedante tatatikshitaha tasya prakriti leenasya yapparasa maheshwaraha.
Krishna.